We're looking at the Lord's return and His time schedule. We'll start over in Mark 13 real quick. Mark 13, 32 to 37. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Now back over in Thessalonians. Thessalonians 4:13. Now these are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. First time I saw this back here in about 1973 after I was saved, it had a whole brand new meaning to me. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Now last week, we looked at some of that stuff about being at night and being in the darkness, and it ties right back into Mark that we just read, because those four watches we've been looking at are all nighttime watches. And he said, I don't want you guys going to sleep on me. You know what a night watchman's good for if he's asleep? Not much. What he says to us, he says, I don't want you guys going to sleep on me. What I say to you, I say to all, watch, stay awake, stay alert. Now, we get totally distracted in this life by the cares of this world. And it wasn't like that when Brother Selden was a kid. I don't know a whole lot about those periods of time when you're driving around in horse and buggies, you know. My grandmother, she came from Montana in a covered wagon out to California. My grandmother, she died in the 60s. Now, I don't know what life was like back then, but I know this. It wasn't near as fast as it is now. You know one of the reasons you guys are so busy all the time? Because if you're not working, you're busy playing. What about when there was no TV and no radio? You know what they did without electric lights? Went to bed early. How come? You didn't burn up that stuff, especially down here in the summertime when it's hot already. You don't want no fires. We sit out there on the porch and watch the sun go down. Okay, the frogs are starting. Let's get to bed. They had time to think about stuff. You don't, man. You are so distracted. You are so overwhelmed that the minute you have a moment break, you put something in it. Isn't that true? I mean, you're going to fill that time up with something. Why? It's just like, I got to do something. I got to do something. Anyway, God says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. What he's saying over here, he said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, didn't he? You know what everybody puts that down to? Well, nobody knows. Nobody knows. You can't know. You can know some stuff. You know who it is that constantly questioning? It's Satan. Yea, hath God said. Well, you can't know you're saved for sure. Oh, really? These things I write unto you that ye may know. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, but he says, brethren, of the times and seasons, you don't have any need I write unto you. Now, what we did is we started back in Genesis last week, because if you're going to find out what has to do with time and season, time is invented by God, and eventually it's going to be taken away. He's going to remove all time. You say, what's it going to be like out in the future? I don't have a clue. For example, there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, is there a sun? The city hath no need of the sun, but it didn't say anything about the earth. He don't tell us everything. But if he's going to schedule something, if he's going to establish something, you're going to have to go to him to find out what the answers are. Part of the problem in human nature is we come up with an idea and we are so proud that we automatically begin to defend it whether or not we even know it's right. And the more you talk about it, the more you believe it. You'll find yourself believing something that's not true. I mean, you know, and there are bells on that priest back there in the Holy of Holies. They teach that kind of stuff. They teach all kinds of crazy stuff. And the people that are teaching it believe it. You don't think they're teaching that believing a lie, do you? Well, how'd they get there? They got there by not questioning themselves, by not looking to what they know is a higher authority, by not looking to someone they know is infallible. Do you question your ability to make a proper decision about anything? That he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. You ought to be questioning yourself, even. What should you trust? Not this flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh. Well, what can I trust? You can trust your Creator. So if you're going to get some answers, and the only ones you can really take to the bank are the ones that he gives you. I didn't say the ones you find in the Word of God to justify your opinion. And there is a big difference. But anyway, going back to look at this thing, why did he say times and seasons? Well, let's look at what God says about time. Back in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's not the first day. The first day starts after that, Genesis 2, and runs on down to 5. And on the first day, he says, the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the first day, and you are children of the day, not of the night. You've got light. You are not in darkness. What is that? That's a reference to understanding. That's a reference to being close to God or far away from God. Who's the prince of darkness? What is God? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We're children of the day, not of the night. What's wrong with the children of Israel? They're in darkness. They slumber. They got that spirit of slumber. God gave them a sleeping pill. But that's not us. He said, so don't go to sleep on me. Stay awake. He said, well, where's the promise of your coming? Everybody else always thought you were coming too. You ain't back yet. That's exactly what I'm talking about, that attitude right there. You realize if he anticipates it that much, you ought to be anticipating it. You know why you don't? Because the things that are important to God aren't that important to you. They ought to be more important to you. What's wrong? We're distracted. By what? By the God of this world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You think you're wrestling against flesh and blood while you're out there driving around the road, you know, and somebody cuts you off? I think it's orchestrated. I am plagued by the slowest, incompetent drivers in the South. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, you ask her. She never finds the kind of people I do, and I get them all the time. And all I can say is, you have need of patience. I mean, that's all you can say, you know. It's like, okay, God, you've got purpose in this. If I ask God, you know, I said, Lord, why'd you do this? Make her laugh. Every time I got behind a slow driver, now I'd have purpose and I'd enjoy it. You know when I don't enjoy it? Is when I don't benefit. You know when you don't enjoy things? Is when you don't benefit. Now, if you can find a way for God to benefit from all your problems, you can start to enjoy some of that stuff. Anyway, so that's the first day, and it has to do with night and dark. And he calls it a day, and that's a period of time. And some people say 1,000 years, it took 6,000 years. Well, I don't think so. You know, I think it's 24-hour days. So why do you think that? Well, if nothing else, it's because what he creates there on the third day. But the second day, he creates this firmament in the midst of the waters, and he separates the waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament. Later on, Job, he says the face of the deep is frozen, and I believe it has to do with that firmament. I mean, you realize how the ice truckers run across that ice up there, you know, up there in Alaska and all that stuff, and up there in the north and North Canada and all that. I mean, they were running tons and tons of stuff across there. That ice gets to where it's strong enough to support something. God says, okay, I just freeze the face of the deep. How you maintain a vacuum, God? Freeze it. How thick is it frozen, God? You wouldn't even believe me if I told you. How big is this universe, God? You can't understand it. Why? Because you can't understand me and I'm bigger than it is. But I'm small enough to live in your heart. In me, you live and move and have your being. I'm small enough that I can love you individually. But I'm so big you can't get it. By the way, is that all you did the second day on the job? Was just make a vacuum? Just make nothing? Just separate it into nothing? He said, well, you know, I am self-employed. You know, I get to do what I want. If I want to close the business today, I can close the business. That sounds pretty good. He said, oh, wait, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get up here with me. Because we're going to just start having a good time. In his presence, fullness of joy, right hand, pleasures forevermore. He said, right now, you guys are going through a bumpy road. And you don't see it right now. The glory that's in you has not been revealed yet. But it will be. When's it going to be? After I come back and get you where you and I can enjoy each other face to face. Then I'll start revealing some of the stuff and the purpose and the value. You know why I had my son die for you? You don't know yet, but you will. It's worth it. Man, it doesn't seem like it'd be worth it, God. It's worth it. Aren't you glad to know you have some value to God? Isn't that great? Anyway, what happened on the third day? Well, he got really busy. He created dry land and the plants. Was there a sun yet? Nope. That's the reason I believe that thing's like a 24-hour day. Because the plants, how are they going to live 1,000 years in darkness? He said, well, he created the day and the night. Well, he did create light and dark, but he hadn't created the sun yet. And here are these plants sitting there. And what do they operate on? They operate on the light of God or on the sun? Well, they operate on the sun. And when he says day and night, evening and morning, he later on ties all that stuff into the Jewish calendar. Evening and morning, 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the morning, that's a day. The thing goes around from 6 to 6. Nighttime is 6 at night, 6 in the morning. Daytime is 6 in the morning to 6 at night. You are the children of the day, not of the night. What happened on the fourth day creates the sun, the moon, the stars. Now, when he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, he said a mouthful. And that part of people's education has just been glossed over. They have no idea what's out there. There is stuff out there they haven't even begun to find out. Why is that? Because God's got all kinds of stuff he's kept secret from us. We think we've got the answer to everything. You're not going to find anything God doesn't want you to find. You know how big this thing is you're living in? Is the world a fairly good-sized spot? I remember hearing one time when I was in school, they kept talking about overpopulation of the world, you know, and they're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of everything, you know, and there's going to be standing room only. One guy says, you could put the entire population of the world, every single person on this planet in the state of Oregon, and everybody would have something like 100 square feet in Oregon, and the rest of the world is empty. You think you're going to run out of a place to plant a garden? You think it's going to be that tough out there that God doesn't know what he's doing? How big is the rest of this place? You have any idea what the biggest planet is in the solar system here, besides the sun? It's Jupiter. How big is it? It's so big you could put all the other planets inside of it or make all the other planets out of it and still have plenty left over. Well, how big is that compared to anything else? You have any idea how big the sun is? The sun is significantly bigger than that. If Jupiter was the size of my head, the sun is the size of my body in diameter. So here's Jupiter, big enough to hold all the other planets put together and all the 50-some-odd other mini planets that are floating around and all the moons. And here's the sun, about 6 times bigger than that. Well, is that big? Not really. There's a star out there in comparison to the sun, which would be the size of a man. It's the size of 3 Eiffel Towers stacked up on top of each other. You say, is that pretty big? Yeah, like 3/4 of a mile high. And here's a guy standing next to it, and that's the sun. You know what they left out? They left that stuff out of your education because the only conclusion people can come to is it couldn't have come from nothing. There's too much stuff. It had to come from someplace. You got to say it always existed. It doesn't exist. You know, it's just a figment of all of our imaginations, which some people actually believe that too. I'm in a coma and I'm dreaming all this stuff and all this stuff out here, and you guys are all just a figment of my imagination. None of it's real. Or always existed, or somebody made it. Now you tell me which one's the only one that makes any sense at all. How do you get all that big stuff floating around at exactly the right distances? How do you get everything to keep on fitting with something that's that many thousand years old without any proven scientific error in it? And it talks about some scientific stuff. It says the circle of the earth. You couldn't convince some of them guys back there around the time Columbus sailed. It says wash your hands in running water. Man, the Civil War, they didn't even have that. That thing has not got one proven error in it, written by somebody way on back there that had no idea what he was writing. Who are you talking about? A bunch of them didn't know what they were writing. Daniel didn't know what he was writing down. And he writes that stuff down just because God says write it down. And it all fits together. Why? Because it's designed. I mean, can you imagine all of this stuff functioning like it functions? Can you imagine this thing here functioning like it does? And the intricacies are beyond our understanding. They still haven't figured that out. This thing is so complex, they can't even figure it out, and they say it happened by an accident. It's designed. Somebody smarter than us made us. And he made us the way he made us on purpose. And that's the stuff that's been left out. Why? Because they're not the most important thing. And the worst part is now they're accountable to somebody. So they leave all that stuff out. So you guys go through life, you don't have any idea what that verse means about the heavens declare the glory of God. If that stuff had been taught, if you'd actually gotten in on some of what's out there and they really start exalting that thing like God made it, pretty soon your attention would have to go back to something else beyond just yourself. And if you're saved, you know who made it. And the more of that stuff you see, the more of that solar system, the more of those stars, the more you realize how big all of these things are. And he puts that stuff together in a 24-hour day. But anyway, when you start seeing those things, you begin to appreciate more of who he is. You know what happens when you start to appreciate the one that made you? Everything in your life begins to change. It doesn't change instantly overnight, but it all begins to change. Instead of constantly praying about what benefits you or how you feel or what's going on in your life, you begin to try to understand, what are you doing here, God? Well, was there a purpose for this, God? Would you do that on purpose? What doesn't he do on purpose? Believe me, if God did it, it's on purpose. Our problem is we kind of think all that stuff happened to us by accident, and so we're praying for relief. That's the way we are. Anyway, moving along. On the fifth day, he creates fish and the birds. On the sixth day, he got really busy. He created the animals and insects and the creeping things. And then he creates man on the sixth day. Now, what day is the sixth day? How about Friday? What day is the day of rest? Saturday. The Sabbath day. Now, God did that, and he did it the way he did it for a reason. How do you know? Because all this stuff was predestined before the foundation of the earth. You know what that means? That means that God planned every detail before he ever started. You talk about design. Man, I can't even do that when I'm working on stuff around my house, building something. I'm constantly changing it as I go. Aren't you flexible like that? Don't you realize that when you start working, you can't think in advance of every tiny detail and plan every tiny detail and make sure all that stuff comes together just right? You're constantly going, oh, well, I forgot this tool. Well, I got to do this. Oh, no, I got to go back and fix that. Well, I didn't think about this. That's not God. When God does this stuff, he does every tiny detail. And we measure everything in our lives based on evolution. You say, what are you talking about? I said, we measure it. That doesn't mean that we don't measure days and weeks, but we didn't come up with that measurement. We just used what he did. What kind of measurements do we have? Well, have you ever heard of a foot? You got a horse? You ever heard of a hand? You know what an inch is made from? 6 cubits in a span and all that other stuff. Those are measurements from people's bodies. Who were they? They were the one whoever was ruling at the time. Can you imagine having to change your measuring system every time the king died? Start over, man. You talk about things changing at the grocery store overnight, trying to stay up with it. That's how we measure stuff. Now, we're not the authority. God is. When God establishes a week and he says, 6 days shalt thou work and 1 day should be a rest, then the 8th day you should start over again with a brand new week. He did that for a purpose. He says his mercies are new every morning, right? Why didn't he say that every day was brand new? Why is all these 7 days that are all similar to each other connected together to make a week and then one of those is special? You ever thought about those questions? You ever think about the one that designed that, why he might have done it? See, that's the stuff that most of us, we just go through life worrying about what's on Channel 10. As soon as I get done here, I'm going to do such and such. You're just so busy with everything, you don't actually slow down and begin to think, God, is there purpose in everything you do? Like I said, he's never done anything without purpose. Our problem is we're not even paying any attention. We don't care about the purpose. Now, your children, do they ever study you to see what you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it and how you're trying to do it? What's even harder than that is get them to try to do it your way. You know, they always got their own way of doing it, and especially when they're teenagers. I love it when they're about 2 years old. I can't get this to work. And you go to help them a little bit. I got to now leave me alone. I want to do it myself. That's about the way we are. You know, we'd be a whole lot better off if we'd start studying God and start asking questions of God. So why are things like they are, God? Why is this 6 days work, 7th day rest? We do that nowadays? I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, you couldn't go out there and hammer a nail. There was all kinds of stuff you couldn't do when you were a kid. Why? That was the Lord's day. What day does the preacher work the hardest on? He's working harder that day than any other. The question is, Lord, why do you do this stuff? Do you really have purpose in it? When he started telling us that this thing is set up specifically with times and seasons, he gave you part of the schedule and he hid it in such a way that unless you want to know about it, it's not going to be just right there in front of your face. If you want to know, you're going to have to seek beyond the obvious and beyond your opinion, and you're going to have to quit trusting yourself. Matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say for some of us, including myself, we're going to have to look at that stuff with an open mind toward God and say, Lord, if I'm wrong, I want to get this thing right. So if there's something there that I need to know, show me and see if he will show you something. But it's got to be for his purpose, not for your benefit. When you start asking God for something for yourself, you got to realize that if he doesn't get anything out of it, there's not much point in him doing it. Let's close in prayer.